Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our second reading this morning is from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Continuing our Eastertide theme of emerging into new life, and I've been using the image of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. And if you watch a time-lapse video of a butterfly emerging, one of the fascinating things is how much larger the butterfly becomes ultimately when it is done unfolding, larger than it looks like the cocoon could have held. And a part of the unfolding process is growing larger than what has encased you. The unfolding takes a little time and patience. Butterflies spend some time, their wings dry, they're able to spread them more and more. And it's true of people too, as we unfold or take on new patterns of life or try new things, or even just grow up. Because we aren't always fully unfolded when the first kind of request of our new nature comes upon us. The Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story. Woman emerged from her church service, and outside the door on the sidewalk was a man looking at the church. He looked up at her and said, "Tell me, what do you believe in there?" And the woman paused and realized she didn't know how to put a good answer fully into words. She thought she could say, "Well, Jesus is Lord." But then she'd have to go on and figure out how to tell him what it meant. She could have recited the Nicene Creed, halfway through which he would have been walking away. She could have said that despite evidence to the contrary, God, the world is in God's good hands. But how to make that sound convincing? Well, in our gospel lesson this morning that Joel read, Jesus takes the place of the man in the street, in effect, putting the disciples on the spot. And he first asks, "Who do men say that I am?" And I imagine someone going, "Ah, gee," you know, looking at their hands, staring down as they scuff the dust with their sandals. And then the focus shifts to Simon, who eventually gets bestowed a new name. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're going to be the rock upon which I will build my church. And Peter is in many ways a wonderful character who embodies the fact that transformation takes time and doesn't always happen. I snapped, believe me. Because let's face it, Peter's impetuous. He is the one who steps out of a boat to walk towards Jesus before his anxiety got the best of him. It was Peter who asked Jesus, can't you just explain these parables, please? It was Peter who suggested erecting three tabernacles so that he, James, and John could stay to honor Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was he who struck out with a sword to defend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and was immediately told to sheathe his weapon as Jesus healed the servant Peter had struck. Peter was the one who, just in the next section of Matthew, rebukes Jesus for speaking of the fact that he must die. And he was swiftly corrected by the Lord, who went from saying, I will build my church, to get behind me, Satan. Because Peter understands Jesus' true identity, but can't accept what it will cost him. And of course, Peter is the one who denied Jesus. Peter is beautifully complex. And knowing his story is helpful for all of us recognizing our own complexity in life and the time it can take to fully unfold into whom God wants us to be. Jesus saw all of this potential in Simon, named him Peter, though at that point Peter was more like the shriveled small butterfly just emerging from the cocoon, wings wrinkled and unable to fly, but brimming with potential. And Jesus uses a little tongue-in-cheek pun, those of you who are familiar with the Koine Greek of that time. You are Petros, says Jesus. And Petros means just a little stone. And on this Petra, meaning a large boulder, I will build my church. In effect, Jesus is saying Peter is a chip off the old rock of ages, a piece of the rock against which the powers of death will not prevail. I want us to be very clear. Peter is a rock because he is a chip off the rock of ages. And it's on that relationship on which the church is built. It's not any virtue just of Peter's or of yours or of mine as we unfold into servants of Christ. Peter is chosen not because he has the right answer or it has occurred to him. On the contrary, Jesus goes on to make it clear that the right answer occurred to him because he was chosen. Because Jesus, in his unsearchable wisdom, his inscrutable way, decided to pick a bullheaded, big-hearted, fallible, stubborn, but never-say-die rock on which to build his church. And Jesus says that Peter's answer is God's answer, that God has given it to him. Jesus doesn't even give full credit to Peter. He will build his church on the rock that Peter is because Peter has that relationship with God. He may rush recklessly into things. He will even deny Jesus, but Jesus says God will build a church on him because he does hold fast to that relationship to God. As Paul described it in our Romans reading, Peter was one who was not conformed to this world, but eventually was transformed by the renewing of his mind so that you may discern what is the will of God. Peter, who was transformed, especially after Pentecost, becoming the primary spokesperson of the church in Jerusalem. And I like the fact that Peter is the way he is, because if Peter is the rock on which the church is to be built, there is hope for all of us. Because he is one of us. Because he remains God's chosen rock, whether he is acting like a cornerstone or at times a stumbling block. And because he shows us that blessedness is less about perfectness, pardon my bad English, than about willingness. That what counts is to risk our own answers, to go ahead and try to get up one more time and to keep going with the help of the Holy Spirit, to go through that unfolding process and emerging into new life. Because how else could Peter have become the stirring spokesperson of faith that we will read about on Pentecost Sunday? How we view Peter in the different ways reminds me of what one person called the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. A fixed mindset is a world view in which human beings have a fixed understanding of what's possible for them and for others. They say that a potential has already been established. But a growth mindset allows for anyone to grow beyond prior expectations, to become a person they desire to be and the person that Christ calls them to be. A fixed mindset would have seen the character of Simon, his aggression, his impatience, and may have dismissed him as a fool. But Jesus recognized that Peter's passion, strength, and resolve could be shaped, and Jesus saw something deep within Peter worth placing the future hopes of a Christian church upon his shoulders. So imagine what we could do as Christians if we looked at ourselves with a growth mindset, and what might happen if we looked at our churches with a growth mindset. What if we were able to look ahead beyond the cocoon where we once were? What if we could see our church as a butterfly, perhaps still with wrinkled rings, but willing to dry those wings, unfold them, and fly? Imagine if we chose to believe in a growth mindset, using a fresh breath of vision to dry our church's wings so that they may take flight. This story of Jesus renaming Simon is a beautiful story, and it is a hopeful reminder that none of us individually are stuck where we are as human beings. No congregation is without a future unfolding. We are all in the process of becoming, much like a butterfly unwrinkling its wings on the verge of taking flight. Amen.